Well, I've been thinking a lot about a lot of things. And one of the things I've been thinking about is heaven. This week, we're looking at the scripture in John chapter 14, where Jesus gave some indication to the disciples about where he was going. Yeah, going to heaven. And old Thomas said, well, how do we know how to get there? But anyhow, I was thinking that our culture today has various misguided ideas about heaven. Now, I think it consists of departed souls eternally playing harps on comfy, clouded chairs. No, that's not what they're doing. We would like to think heaven is we just going to be playing harps and floating around heaven all day long. Or maybe some people think maybe it means doing or being everything you love the best. You know, just happy-go-lucky things all the way. I think one of the most tragic misconceptions is that heaven is the place where everybody goes after death. Or at least somebody that lived a good life, right? Well, the Bible, by contrast, presents a different picture of heaven as the glorious and awesome home of the triune God. The God of the Bible is also very specific about who will live there. Does the Bible really claim Jesus is the only way to heaven? Well, in John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying clearly, he is the only way to heaven. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. We may want to buy the best way, or work our best way to get to heaven, or think our best way, but the Bible's clear. Jesus provides the only way. He is the way. And God's preparing a wonderful place for us in heaven. I like what they said, in my Father's house there are many, most translations say many mansions. I kind of like to think, in my Father's house, Jesus said, there are many resting places. And I think that will be the most wonderful thing when this life is over. God has prepared a resting place for us to live with him forever and ever. God's preparing that wonderful place for you and I if we will only believe. And those who endure their faith have a secured place in heaven. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Now, a lot of us have challenges in this life where we had maybe lost a loved one or something like that. I know I lost a little girl named Kathy, 8 days old, as she died from what we call a crib death at that time, or now they call it sudden death syndrome. But I know that she's safely home. And God, in a short period of time after that, gave us another little girl. Her name is Debbie. That was the most fascinating thing. You know, years ago, and I guess they still do, the hospital would give you the baby picture with a little card on the bottom of who it is, when they were born, and all that stuff. Well, when we looked at Kathy's baby picture and looked at Debbie's baby picture, it was like, wow, you couldn't tell them apart. Eric Clapton, I think, was probably known as one of the greatest living rock guitarist. He wrote a lot of heart-wrenching songs about the death of his 4-year-old son back in 1991. His son fell from a 53-story window. Now, the story goes that Clapton took 9 months off, and when he returned, his music had changed. The hardship that he made his music softer, more powerful, and more reflective. I think maybe you've heard the song he wrote about his son's death. It's a very wonderful song of hope. And if you're not familiar with it, you know, I think sometimes it's good, and like I always say about the, some of the greatest sermons in the church is in the hymnals, if we only read them. So I'd like to read this song that Eric Clapton wrote. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, 'cause I don't belong here in heaven. Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? I'll find my way through night and day, 'cause I know I just can't stay here in heaven. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Times can break your heart. Have you been begging, please? Begging, please? Beyond the door there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there's no more tears in heaven. Well, Jesus just had Passover meal with his disciples. And he had washed their feet in an act of servanthood. He foretold about the betrayal of Judas that he would soon perform. They didn't understand it, but he told them. He predicted Peter's denial. He told them, he's leaving. But he adds this word of hope. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. Or as I mentioned, I like to say, many resting places. And I go to prepare a place for you, and will come again to take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Life's hard. Life's complicated. And sometimes in life, hardship has a way of getting our attention. No doubt about it. Pain slows us down. It can even soften us. But I think very few of us, after facing a big trial, can come out the same way that we entered in. Jesus understood this and attempted to prepare his disciples for the road ahead. Now, we're grateful and know that we have history on our side, but the disciples that was there with Jesus really didn't get it. And maybe sometimes we don't get it either. But the scriptures give us that blessed assurance that Jesus truly is the way. So, if you have faith in me being Jesus, it can overcome your worry. Seems almost impossible, doesn't it? Get rid of worry. Jesus saying, let me tell you the absolute essential truth about this life. And we can go through life and find these struggles. And Jesus is remarkable because after his remarkable dinner conversation in the Gospel of John chapter 21, he was telling them in a lot of other ways. He finally says, well, pray. He said he prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. And guess what? He then prays for you and I. Read the whole chapter of John, chapter 17. Then we say the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And that's a prayer that Jesus taught for us to have a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. But in my humble opinion, I think the true Lord's Prayer is in John 17. Because he prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples. So, we all are challenged. And he said, then, if you have faith in me, you'll overcome your worries. And secondly, you will have direction in life. Finally, he wanted them to know, them, the disciples that he was with, that if you have faith in me, I'll help you along the way, because I'm going to send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit. The power is there if we would just latch on to it. the kind of help that says, I will strengthen your soul so that you will not worry when times get tough. You see, that kind of help that doesn't show us anything but hope. It shows us the way. Because he being Jesus, is our way. He's the only truth of our life. Think about it. If we didn't have hope and faith in Christ, this world would be just overwhelming to us. Yeah, Judy's got cancer twice, and she's going through treatments again. But you know, through modern technology and the medical things and so forth, we feel as though that God's going to use those kind of things to heal her. But you know, I think about Lazarus a lot. Now, we don't know what Lazarus died from. Some people think maybe they had a hit job on him, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew he was a friend of Jesus, and they killed him. We don't know. But we do know when Jesus got there, Lazarus was already dead. Lazarus, come out! And he raised Lazarus from the dead. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. But, and I say but, I always like the buts in Scripture. Lazarus eventually died. He had a place in heaven. But we are not meant to live life eternally here in this world. I like what one of my pastor's friends says. You know, we're walking around this world in our earth suits. And I like that because when these old earth suits get a little tired and worn out, we trade them for a heavenly suit. So, yeah, going through trials and tribulations and going through different things, it's hard. It is. Life's hard. Life's complicated. But we got to hang on to the hope. We are all unique. There's not another one in this world like you. Now, they always say we got lookalikes. And that may be true. We may have, but there is nobody like you. Nobody has the same fingerprints. Nobody has anything. You are special as you were made in God's image. And he's reserved a place for us once we get past this whole life. Life eternal. You know, Jesus said that we would never die. And what he means by that, yeah, we'll maybe die this physical death, but we will live eternally because our spirit connects with God's spirit. Wow, what a joy. Well, we have a lot of people that's on our prayer list, and you can, on the website there, if you go to the slides, it'll take you over to all the lists that we have on our prayer list. And we thank you as we ask that you continue to pray for me, pray for Judy, and pray for all the people that we know about. Because intercessory prayer is so special. But you know, and you've heard me say it before, and it took me a long time to realize this. A lot of times people will say, preacher, pray for me. And I said, oh, I'd be happy to. But I also let them know, you know, I'll pray for you, but you need to learn to pray for yourself. And I don't say that in a mean way. You don't need a priest. You don't need an 800 number, although it's good to share and ask people to pray a prayer of intercession. Because when Jesus was on the cross and when he gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple... Now, that veil in the temple was there, and only the priest could go in there. If you remember some of the stories about scapegoats and all that, where they would put the sins on the goats and send them out into the wilderness. But when Jesus died, there was an earthquake, and that veil in temple was rent in two, signifying that now, in Jesus' name, we have direct access to the Holy of Holies. No longer do we need the blood of animals and goats. No longer do we need to go through the priests. We can go to God and say, Daddy, I need to talk to you. Can I crawl up on your lap and hold me and let me share my heart? That's the most beautiful thing, because Jesus said, go into your prayer closet. And what he meant by that, you can come to me, you can pour your heart out, you can tell me everything that's on your mind and heart, because I already know it anyhow. It's refreshing to know. Sometimes I just walk around out in the yard and I'm struggling with something, and I'll just, you know, pray as I walk, or say, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. It's beautiful. So Jesus taught his disciples a prayer that we close this little segment with. Join me as we pray the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor's Thoughts.